Welcome back. Well, freshly completed buildings at ATAC's Midrand development is already paying off for the group. Revenue growth from that project has helped the investment trust grow distributable earnings by 17%. The company's net asset value, however, has declined due to impairments related to reducing its rest of Africa exposure. And company CEO Melt Hammond joins us to discuss the numbers and the factors at play. Thanks so much, Melt, for joining us this evening. So
thanks,
dividend per share up by a better than expected 10.1%, distributable earnings per share rising 17%, and Waterfall City in Midrand fueling a lot of that momentum. Is that development simply surpassing your expectations right now? And more so, I guess, are you surprised given that it's within a very constrained and tough economic environment?
Thanks for having me. If you look at our distributable per share, it is up 17%. And when we've adjusted for the non-recurring items, the non-recurring items is interest coming out of the rest of Africa. So if you exclude that, then it's the number you've quoted, the 10.1%. Mm-hmm. The 10.1% is based on the new buildings we've completed in Waterfall Precinct. Over the last year, we've completed 7 buildings. We are busy with 9 more buildings. So it's in line with expectations. I think the market is soft. The office market is definitely soft. This morning I've quoted a vacancy number in Sandton of over 15% vacancies for offices. So there's definitely oversupply in the market from an office viewpoint and then also from a retailer viewpoint. Mall of Africa, I use the word blessed. We're blessed with a Mall of Africa. Their trading densities is up 13.1%, mm-hmm. which is exceptional in the market. So I would say Waterfall, it's definitely our core asset. It's definitely a focus for us, and we put a lot of capital and a lot of effort into Waterfall.
Let's interrogate that supply-demand equation a little bit more, because you've alluded to it, where this is commercial property, office space, and in synergy with retail that you're developing. What's the draw card? What's the value proposition you're putting on the table?
For us as ATAC, I'll take a step back. We manage ATAC on 4 key drivers. One is our SA portfolio. That's about 75% of our total portfolio. The second driver is the developments at Waterfall, which will give us upside going into the future. The second value driver or investment pillar is our investment into MAS, which is a Eastern Europe fund. And then the fourth pillar is the rest of Africa. We're busy exiting rest of Africa. So you will notice over the last couple of years, our exposure into the rest of Africa has reduced. We're now sitting below 820 million, which is just 3% of our total asset base. If you come back to Waterfall, we would like to create a work-live-play environment, and that's why we've now launched our first residential, the Ellipse, mm-hmm. Which is selling quite well. We've sold over 80% of the units. So first phase will be completed June next year. We're going to do 272 units. So I would say, coming back to what's our value prop? Value prop definitely in SA is a focus on Waterfall.
Yeah. Looking at Waterfall then, I ask about those draw cards because one wants to get a sense of the extent to which that's managed to bulk up your muscle at the negotiating table as far as rentals are concerned. How tough are those negotiations with your tenants right now?
It's extremely tough. I mean, coming back to supply and demand, there's definitely oversupply in Sandton. The way we sell Waterfall, it's one in location. It's a much easier access in and out of a city than the likes of a Sandton, for instance. It's also security. It's the cleanliness of a city. I mean, the benefit for us, we as ATAC control and manage the city. So we can look after the city from a security viewpoint, from a maintenance viewpoint. So that's definitely a draw card for potential tenants.
So what kind of lease agreements are we looking at?
Our lease agreements differs between retail and offices. If you look at retail, for instance, the anchor tenant in a shopping center will sign a 10-year lease. The smaller tenant will sign between 5 and 7, and then your smaller tenant, sometimes we refer to them as your mums and pops, will sign a 3-year lease. What we have seen, for instance, in the industrial space, in the olden days, you used to sign a 10-year lease, 12-year lease. That has definitely reduced. The smaller, we refer to the word boxes, the smaller boxes in industrially looking 3 to 5-year lease.
How's that impacting your rental escalations?
I wouldn't say the tenor of a lease impacts the rental escalations. What we have seen, and it's a new trend, is that most of your tenants prefer a floating escalation. So they will peg it with CPI. So they will say they're happy to sign CPI plus 1%. So CPI currently, it's 4% plus a 1% is 5%. If you look at the existing leases, they're sitting at a 6, 7, 8% escalation. So that is a bit unsustainable because your escalation is much higher than the actual growth of that business. So what we have seen on escalations is people coming to this concept of floating escalations.
Okay, where South Africa is clearly paying off for you for now, and not a lot of companies in this earnings season actually able to say that. What's your Africa strategy? Because you alluded to it, you've seen your total assets falling 2.9%, net asset value per share declining 8.6%, and weighed down by an impairment of one of your African assets. So what's your strategy on that end from here on out?
Yeah, if you look at Africa, the plan is to exit. So we co-shareholders with a high prop on Ikecha, and at Africa we co-shareholders again with a high prop. And I want to say fortunately for us, we have taken the pain. We've taken the pain in the 2018 year and now also in the 2019 year. In the 2019 year, our negative fair value adjustment, or you could say the impairment, is just over 500 million, which is it's a big number. So currently the exposure is 820. Of that 820 million, 180 million is cash that sits in our offshore account, so we can bring that back to South Africa. And then post year end, we've also at Africa exited Manda Hill in Lusaka, Zambia, and that will then convert another 120 million into cash. So out of the 820, as we sit here today, 300 million is cash, 520 million relates into direct investment in property, and over time we would like to exit that as well.
Okay, let's leave it there, Malt. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. That, of course, Malt Hammond, who's CEO of Attack.